have some members of the public here. Who do we have?
Well, I'll go first really quick. I'm actually staff. My name's John Roche. I'm with Lane County General Services, so Fleet and Animal Services. I usually don't attend the meetings, but I'm just sitting in with Nathan today. I apologize up front. I'll need to step out about 20 to 5. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you.
Thanks.
Okay. And then I'll just do a quick intro. Nathan Mitchell Hooks with Fleet Services, Fleet and General Services as well.
I'm Tasha. I'm a member at large.
I'm Bernadette DiPiero.
I'm Virginia Kaiser.
And David Calderwood.
And then we do have
a member. Lou Courtney, co-chair.
Perfect. And then we do have a member of the public as well.
My name is Lou Ann Cook. I am the president of the board of Cat Rescue Adoption Network. We are a rescue nonprofit here in Lane County.
Perfect. Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right. Do we have any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, I'm going to call for an acknowledgement of the meeting minutes of November.
Acknowledge them.
Thank you, David. So moving on to new and continuing business. Looks like we're going to review and discuss the LCAS spay and neuter voucher forms.
Sounds great. So this one will probably be, I know I allotted like 15 minutes. I'll try to be fairly brief, but I know this is something we've talked about for quite some time, so I figured it'd be good just to kind of walk through the voucher form and then how to find it on a website. So we'll kind of just go over all of it today. So in your packets, you will see there's a few different forms, but one of which is the application and voucher for spay and neuter assistance. Let me know if all of you do have it or do not have it. And then here's a copy of that if you'd like
to
see it.
Thanks, I'd love to.
You're very welcome. So this form predates myself, probably predates John as well. I think we've had it for quite some time. And I think it's only been fairly recently updated just for the cost increase from the $50 voucher to the $100 voucher. But we did, there was a request to kind of bring in one of these forms just to kind of see what it looked like and what the public has to do to utilize the voucher. One thing that did stand out to me pretty quickly, which you'll probably notice as well, is when the form was originally created, tells you it was created in 2018, I guess, or at least we used the poverty guidelines for 2018 as a criteria for someone to be able to utilize it. So that gross annual qualifying amount definitely does not really apply today, or at least there wouldn't be very many people probably able to use it at this point. Hey, Scott. Let's see. I will have a spare agenda for you in just a few. I think I ran out of copies.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sure.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
Perfect. Not too bad. And then you might, Scott, you might want to, since we'll show some things on the screen, you might want to sit maybe next to David or so that you're able to see everything. And then, Deb, I can send you a copy of, I think I ran out of agendas, but
yeah.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Are they going to update that?
Well, we can. So that's something I figured we could kind of talk about today. I don't know if there's any, and this I'd have to look a little bit deeper into it. I don't know if there's any requirement that we have an income eligibility. We might could eliminate that entirely if we want to, I suppose. There's also a list of the clinics that accept the voucher. There's not too many, but it looks like we currently have about 7 that are on the program. So the only concern I had when I was kind of thinking about our options is if we eliminate that criteria, It could dramatically increase the usage.
Thanks.
To where...
Okay, I can see a person picking this up and going, oh, well, I don't qualify for that.
Right, right.
You know, not even looking at what year it was and going, well, you know, I will not even bother because I don't qualify.
Exactly.
So it either needs to be upgraded or, you know, you could put a... you could put a cap on it. You know, if people are making $100,000, well, they probably should be able to pay for their own spaying and neutering.
Right.
But I see that it does have by the family household. So if there are 8 members in your family and that's what you make, then it could. So it either needs upgraded or...
Eliminating all, yes.
Eliminated, something different, because I can see that being a deterrent, not even reading the rest of it, getting to that point when you... on into the trash.
Exactly.
Well, we could have them just have a small form that said, yes, I am, or I or our family are in need of some financial assistance with respect to a free voucher, and just put the burden on them.
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely
doable. That sounds good. Yeah, just short verbiage and, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then have a signature.
Definitely. Yeah, we could definitely do that. Yeah, I from what I could tell, I mean, just through a little bit of research, I don't think there was any requirement, or at least that I know of, for us to have that eligibility.
The purpose in our doing this.
Oh, but it says on here right here, must not exceed. It's right here in the verbiage telling them that.
Right.
So I can see the stern one.
Yeah.
May I ask a question? Which clinics are offering to cooperate with the voucher program?
There is, you probably don't have this one, but we do have, so Eugene Animal Hospital, Forest Valley Veterinary Clinic, South Willamette Vet Clinic, Veneta Vet Hospital, Echo Hollow Veterinary Hospital, and then...
WAG.
It looks like WAGs actually, I think, removed themselves.
You think what?
Recently. I don't think they accept the vouchers.
Huh. Yeah.
Or maybe they do. I'd have to check.
Would you?
Yeah, I could definitely do that. Yeah. Because I know one of them didn't want to do it anymore just due to bandwidth issues and things. I'd have to confirm
because
which one.
Because of bandwidth?
Right.
What's that mean?
Between the work that their staff is normally doing, to add this to their plate would be, yeah. At least that's what they let us know. So I can definitely confirm if all these do, but those are the 5 that...
You can delete this before or below or the income eligibility.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think what we'll probably do is either eliminate that entirely, or there are some new guidelines that are regional. So for like the Eugene Springfield area, it has its own, and I think it's quite a bit more than that. So most people would probably qualify under the Eugene-specific guidelines, even if we kept that in. But
we created this almost 20 years ago, patterned after New Jersey and New Hampshire, who instituted a 5% portion of, was it dog licenses? Was that what it was?
I don't know.
Yeah. And allocated it to subsidize spay and neutering for low-income people. Mm-hmm. And they saw a real popularity and usage of it. Our situation here has been that it's been spotty insofar as letting people really know about it in terms of making it visible. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. You know. And also we would need someone, some staff member, to pay courtesy calls, maybe it's already being done, at the veterinary clinics. Westmoreland comes to mind, and, you know, lots of them. I think, you know, the purpose is to get them out there and get them used, you know?
Right. Totally valid.
Let them say, you know, yes, we... Our income is such that we really would need help, mm-hmm. and we appreciate it. Sign Joe Blow.
Exactly. No, 100%.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we...
And if you didn't give it an exact number each year, If you just put the statement, we feel that we need assistance, and leave it at that, and then they can fill in their gross part and not have this whole criteria thing, you wouldn't have to alter it every single year.
True.
Otherwise, it would need revamped every single year, which, you know, somebody would have to do. So I think that you could, you know, change it into a simple sentence and then leave the bottom here the same.
Exactly.
I mean, if it ever becomes abused, and some people roll up in their Maseratis and want 10 of them for their hoarded dogs.
That's right.
Okay, we can revisit it, but
yeah, no, let's eliminate as many obstacles to the usage as we can. Yeah. So what I will also show, and I'll share the screen here as well, is just I kind of want to show how to access it. I'm going to minimize that. There we go. And so that way it kind of gave you an idea as to, actually, let me go here.
Hey, Dave, got another pen. Oh, no, I got one.
Okay. Oh, actually, let's go. Okay, so if you go to our webpage, our Lane County webpage.
LaneCounty.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then if you type in, probably the easiest way to find it would be to type in animal services. And that should, there's a few other ways I could kind of show you how to get there. But easiest way would just be to search animal services. It's going to take you to our animal services webpage, homepage. And then from there, so if you ever have questions about kind of what resources we have on the page, this is, you know, feel free to kind of go through it. So we've got our advisory committee, donations that we accept, animals in disaster, kind of prevention and resources for emergencies, bite prevention and reporting, et cetera, quite a few different resources here.
Do you have the report, the Blue Ribbon report?
We may. I'd have to probably look through it a little bit deeper.
We always have had it.
Okay. It's probably on there then.
It's a large report.
Okay.
Judges and vets.
Okay. Yeah, let me make a note. Okay. But if you go to, so on this right side here, are some links that'll take you directly to kind of specific pages, commonly visited pages like licensing. So if we click on the spay and neuter voucher program, it takes you to the program's main page here, which has some more information that we can definitely update, but it lets you know how do you qualify. We have the applicant process, which is kind of outlined, checking with a participating vet, fulfilling the application. And then we do have, again, because I think it, you know, was in line with the form, we do have it where it mentions the income guidelines. So if we were to erase those, we could erase that from there as well. We did have it to where proof of income has never been required. So, you know, we haven't asked for a pay stub or anything like that. So, you know, theoretically, you know, hopefully it hasn't been an obstacle. But and then we do ask for proof of current rabies vaccination as well. So it outlines a little bit deeper as to the vet's process. So this is a resource for vet clinics that accept the vouchers, so they kind of know how that works. And then we have some links below. Again, these qualifying income guidelines.
You're going to get rid of that.
Yes, yeah, these we'll get rid of these. And then for a link to the voucher, and we'll have an updated link to the updated voucher there as well. That takes you directly to it, and from there you can print it and fill it out and submit it.
The other thing that's Madam Chair, you're the co-chair. The other thing that has been an irritant to some is the idea that, well, the vouchers can only go to people who do not live in the economically marginal areas of urban mm-hmm. Lane County,
right.
or any area. Mm-hmm. Well, if the supply-demand thing is not activated, it's to our interest to use these and get them out. Mm-hmm. If it comes to the point where you have to make a decision and there's more demand than supply, mm-hmm. then okay.
Sure.
Rural, non-urban, whatever.
Right.
But it seems to me, I don't know what the city of Eugene is doing. They instituted at the same time we did the 5% of license revenue allocated to spay and neuter voucher fund. My understanding is from just a couple of years ago that they just route it to their own spay and neuter clinic, which, you know, I suppose is logical.
Sure.
Anyway. Yes. Yeah.
No, that's
I mean, we don't want to put such straitjackets on this thing that no one comes and uses them, no one knows about it.
Sure.
Oh, I live in Santa Clara. Oh, I'm inside Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No,
so
that's...
Is what you're talking about is somebody that lives in the city of Eugene can't use one?
Can. Should be.
What you're saying
able.
Is, right now, they've been limited to not using it because they're in an urban area. They're not in the county
right. But,
jurisdiction.
But that's
correct.
Been a...
We want to open it up so that people within Eugene to come to us can actually get one.
If someone... Yeah.
They're not in our jurisdiction.
Homeless people that live in Whitaker or whatever, Springfield, Glenwood, wherever.
So this is always at least, to my knowledge, because, again, I'm not an expert on this, but it's always been related to our licensing program. So because... We only license unincorporated Lane County. We've only offered it to people in unincorporated Lane County.
That's because
cats are not licensed.
True.
You can prove that through the licensing on a dog, mm-hmm. but you have no way of proving it on a cat.
That's true.
So yeah. You'd be strictly going on their address, their physical address. Does it say on this form that they can only be non-city?
Do these vouchers go for cats as well as dogs?
The voucher?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not necessary. I think logistically it would be, I don't know, it might not even be, but I think the idea has been if we open it up to everyone within Lane County, then what does that look like logistically? What does it look like logistically for the clinics that are accepting the voucher? Because if they, right now, if their frequency is only, let's say, 10 a month, and they're okay with that, but does that change? Does their willingness to be able to accept it change if it's 30 to 40 a month?
Well, I think it should be more specific.
Sure.
If the city of Eugene does have a program, then the city of Eugene should be excluded. If there
we don't have a program.
You don't have
no. We don't have a voucher program.
You don't do that anymore.
No. So then they should be included.
Sure.
There was a vote on the city council at the time that instituted that. I never knew. Did they formally vote to eliminate that?
I've been with only the position for a year and a half, and the vouchers have not been a thing. So I don't know when it went away.
We'll get some city councilors to look into that. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, what we're saying is we'd like to see it opened up.
Sure.
So the city people outside of our jurisdiction can use the vouchers as well.
That's understandable.
I mean, they're all Lane County residents. Eugene's the county seat. Sometimes it's a distinction without a difference. It's a difference and a distinction if you want to make it one or you feel you have to make it one, right? But on at least a trial basis, since there's very little activity on this.
True. So one thing that we would want to consider, because I don't have any objections to that, but one thing we've kind of added alongside the voucher was, I believe, a year license as well. So if we open it up to everyone, then that does kind of complicate things.
No, then in terms of a license, should just we don't have the authority to give city licenses.
Correct.
So it would only be county licenses. I didn't know that we had a year license.
That we have, yes.
That's an option.
Yes.
That's,
well, you could, if it requires a license on a dog, if they're part of the city, then all they have to do is have proof of the license on the dog. And all they have to do to get that was to get a rabies vaccine and apply for the license. So that makes it simple there. Then the people that live in Eugene could still do this. They just have to have a proof of a license.
So does a dog have to have a license in order to qualify to get a voucher?
No.
I don't believe so.
No.
No, it's just that we, correct.
To get a license.
Yes. So we do, if for folks who aren't able to afford the license, we do kind of give a complimentary one alongside the voucher. Just to get them, what's that?
How long is that?
That's a 1 year.
Good.
Yeah.
That came from this committee too.
Okay.
Because we recommended that you do that. It's been some time that we did that.
Gotcha.
To get them into the system.
Right. Yeah.
And it does work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Multnomah County did it for like 6 months perhaps, but...
Whatever.
If they're in the system, in the queue, and right. they have contact information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they don't have a license, but their dog needs, let's say a dog needs to be spay or neutered, mm-hmm. how do you direct that the dog?
Well, you give them a complimentary license, but they shouldn't need to have a license in order to get a voucher.
Right.
So this license talk, why should we even be talking about it?
Sure.
But a license is de facto proof of rabies vaccination.
Well, to get a license, yeah. According to the state law in Oregon, you have to have a rabies shot
right.
in order to get a license.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to start handing out licenses for unvaccinated for rabies.
Well, it's against the law.
It's against the Oregon law. We can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. See, I disagree with that. There's other jurisdictions, notably Alberta, Canada, that you don't need to have a license to get a rabies. You don't need to have a rabies shot to get a license.
Could these vouchers be expanded for obviously indigent applicants to include a rabies vaccination if it was subsidized, say, at Green Hill or wherever? We don't give them.
Right, no. I mean, it's possible, but it's not built for that currently, I suppose.
Okay, we were talking before that it would be possible if a person really was in dire straits that they could apply for more than one voucher on the same dog, like $200 something like that.
Right.
How about what we have in there? Does the applicant need assistance with rabies vaccine?
Sure, that's something we can.
And then it could be done at the same time when they're spayed and neutered, right?
Yeah, that would be.
So that would just be a question to add into the. I mean, we're going to have some space now that we're taking all this money stuff out and have in there. Do you need assistance with the rabies vaccine as well?
The other thing is, do the clinics demand, some of the clinics might demand a rabies shot in order to do a spay and neuter.
Most clinics require an active rabies.
That's kind of what I thought.
Can they do the rabies at the same time?
Absolutely.
There we go.
And we've always got lots of money left over because this isn't being used.
Sure.
This would help use the money, which would satisfy us.
Right. Yep.
And it would protect the animals too.
Yeah.
Right. True. Get the rabies vaccine, get their license, get them spayed and neutered. They're into our system. We know where they are.
Mm-hmm. We're going to follow up next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a great idea. I think that's.
Mm-hmm. It would have to get past the county commissioners, but if we advise that, it would help.
Yeah.
Would you recap that in a nutshell, what you just said?
To have it say, do you need assistance with the cost of a rabies vaccination?
Okay.
As well as spay and neuter.
As well as a spay and neuter. And just have it as part of the verbiage. They can check the box.
Would the voucher go towards a rabies vaccination?
Yes.
Now, the one thing is their rabies vaccinations and their rabies vaccinations in terms of cost. Are there any organizations that really have reasonable prices, absolutely reasonable cost plus 10% or whatever.
Gosh,
so they don't get you to go in there and,
yeah,
you know, have an office visit and you're out $200.
For sure. If they're getting it done wherever these spay and neuters are, I mean, knowing some of these specific hospitals, they're not going to charge more than $35 for that rabies vaccination if they're doing a procedure at the same time. At most, I would say $35 for that vaccine.
So then that any voucher for rabies should not exceed that.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you can triple check to make sure they haven't adjusted their prices, but I've worked at South Willamette Veterinary. I think their rabies vaccine is $23. So,
well, you could have it as $100 for the spay neuter and $25 for the rabies.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
if they had to pay the difference, then.
Yeah.
$10.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
They should be able to take care of it. Though.
And then see how it works. And
sure.
Maybe yeah. 3 months from now, we'll talk it over and look at it.
Do we have to have that approved by the council to?
I would assume. Well,
I don't think so.
I'd have to check. I mean, it might not. I don't know. But I could look into that.
I mean, you start doing that, it's fine. But then you delay it 3 months.
Sure. No, it's. I mean, it's an internal policy,
right.
So I don't know if that would need commissioner.
And it's sort of a. A tweaking of a
right.
pre-existing program.
Exactly.
To try to maximize the availability and benefit to the public, right?
Right.
So could you do something by next meeting?
Yeah, have I could definitely, or at least I can have a draft ready for all you
next
all
month.
To review.
Next week?
Yeah.
January?
Madam Co-Chair. You, who's the co-chair?
Linda.
Oh, Linda. She's there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We shrunk her.
Right there.
She's behind this screen.
Did she call the meeting to order?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did we avail people of public comment? So because a lot of people came in.
Yes. No, we did. We did not do that.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what I had to share. So if there's other, I mean, I would recommend maybe taking a look through our website. It's a pretty, our animal services page on the county website. It's a pretty extensive amount of resources and things. Our staff do a phenomenal job on trying to keep things up to date. But from time to time, there are pages that lead to other pages that lead to other pages that haven't been updated for a while. So if you do find something that is out of date or you know, there's a resource that doesn't exist anymore or something like that, definitely let us know, and we're more than happy to get that updated. But yeah, so you can find it directly. Like I said, probably looking up the animal services is going to be the quickest way to find it. If you go to, let's see, there you go, okay. So the other way you can also get to kind of that page is if you go and hover under or over the How Do I link, if you hover over Apply, and then if you go down to Pet Licensing or Pet Adoption, I think if you do Pet Licensing, it'll take you to our Animal Services
or spay
page.
Or
well. I don't think they've been added there, so we can definitely do that. We can definitely add that to it.
That would be good. Have
yes.
it added there.
Yeah. No, 100%. So yeah,
you know I haven't gone through this recently, but to make it a little bit folksy,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like Smokey the Bear, we always had LCAS had the for licensing, you know, a drawing of a cat or whatever. It's just remember, a license is a free call,
free ride home
for
that's
a dog right. without a dime.
That's, oh, there you go.
You know?
So, yeah, we can
and
yeah.
put that in there, just, you know.
To kind of spice it up a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So our younger people won't know what a dime was for.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's about all I had on that particular item. What I will do is go back to Linda here, and then I will stop sharing. There we go. So unless there were other, I'll make a note for the next. I've kind of taken all the notes, and then I have your kind of voice memos as well. So I'll review those, and then I'll make an updated draft of the form that we'll discuss and review at the next meeting, if that works.
Good job.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. So Linda, I will yield the floor back to you. Chair Bartlett mentioned, we didn't really open it up to public comment. I don't know if you want to do that at this time, or...
Do we want to back up to include those people that just recently joined us?
I would.
Sure, that'd be great.
If there's anyone who wants to.
Hi.
You want to speak?
I do.
Introduce yourself.
Sorry.
So yeah, if you could just state your first and last name, that'd be great.
Tara Nagelhout.
Thank you, Tara. And then, yeah, you were... So you are free to proceed with public comment. Just to kind of explain the rules of public comment, so it's 3 minutes allotted per person, and then the committee can kind of discuss some of the other things that are stated. If
just give
questions,
your name.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. My name is Tara. Last name is Nagelhout, and I have filled out an application to be part of this fun and exciting committee. I don't know if there's openings right now. It was clean, and then Clark, my dog, found some treats in my bag. And so I left it like this because I just want you to know, like, what I'm about. And I'm about not having things nice. So there's that. And my dog slobbers all over it. This is my proposal for regulation. I would like, we talked about this last meeting. I'd like to, as a 501c3 and ARE organization, be allowed to microchip feral cats and not have any financial or legal responsibility for them when we let them back out in the world. That's that. What I'm really here to do today is to say that in my perfect world, Green Hill would be the best thing in the world. And I wish that we could all get along and everything would be great. There's some things going on, and I'm speaking today here, and I'm afraid, because Green Hill has retaliated against two people that I know of in this community. One was by sending a letter to a restaurant telling them not to participate in a fundraiser because one of the vets wrote an email saying that she didn't agree with some things. The other was one of the vets coming into one of my places of business and filing a complaint against an animal that looked bad but was well cared for. At the last meeting, Green Hill's representatives stated that local rescues were taking stray cats out of feral colonies and forcing them to live indoors. And I just wanted to clarify that I did look up the NACA guidelines, and I have printed out copies of them here for you. And unfortunately, I believe that what I'm available to access is a lot less than what they're able to access. But a lot of what she was saying, I can't find in here, but I truly believe that I'm only given a short version as a member of the general public. We are not forcing feral cats to live indoors. The cats that we remove from feral colonies are clearly pets that were dumped or left behind. We don't want any more cats. Like, we don't want any of the cats we have. So we would prefer not to take any more. We're certainly not taking any that would prefer to have the wildlife. So that's that. The other thing I want to talk about with Green Hill is the ear tips. We have spoken, as the rescue community, has spoken to Green Hill about their ear tips. They're excessive. I have a chart here showing what is appropriate. I have several copies of this for everybody. Here's a little thing from Alley Cat Allies that talks about it as well. I've got another article here, the importance of ear tipping and what it should look like. I have an email here from Dr. Powell stating that they will start making smaller tips. That's not happening. Here's one. That's disgusting.
Oh my God.
And it's not just an aesthetic thing. Cats, like dogs, do this. They're like sonar. You know, their ears are for
That's
a
mutilation.
Purpose. Yeah. And so when this happens to a cat that lives outdoors, he is not able to defend himself with the gift of his hearing as well as he should be able to.
How recent was that?
6 months.
Terrible. Who did that?
Green Hill. This one was within the last 6 weeks. This one's not as obvious, but it's not great. Here's another one. And so I would really like to see this stop. In the printouts I have for you, it talks about what should be taken off of the ear, and it is... Um, in a half a centimeter, well, 0.6 centimeters is what is absolutely sufficient for us to be able to tell in a snap if that cat has been neutered or not. And I honestly wish that, you know, it wasn't such a struggle with Green Hill all the time. And it sounds like the rescue people are just complaining constantly, and we don't want to do that.
Is there a protocol by the AVMA with regard to this 0.6 centimeter?
Yes.
There is.
There is.
And who at Green Hill performs these surgeries? Is it a veterinarian or?
Yes. Yes. I don't remember the veterinarian's names. Dr. Powell is one of them, I think.
Yeah,
Dr. Powell
a
does the spays and neuters.
Okay, so Dr. Powell is doing them.
But I don't know who's tipping the ear.
So Tara, just to ensure that the discussion and dialogue don't eat into your time, was there anything else that
nope.
you wanted to before?
Nope. Okay. I feel like I already probably used my 3 minutes.
No, you're totally fine.
So I'm a little red talking so fast.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay. And if the committee would like to ask follow-up questions and things, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure you're at all your time.
Absolutely.
Now, is this your application?
Uh-huh, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah, it's got some slobber on it.
But that's the original, right? Did you submit this, or are you going to submit it, or what's the deal?
I was submitting it, but I don't think that's how it gets
that's,
done.
That's fine. I can take
you
it.
Get it, thank okay.
You. Well, I accept you.
Okay, thanks.
I have another question.
Yes.
So tell me more about microchipping feral cats.
Yeah, so we want to do that so we can track them. I think some of it's just morbid curiosity. You know, we just kind of want to have a record. But also when animals get hit or die for whatever reasons and they get taken to Green Hill and they're scanned, we'd like to know that, you know, when Jackie or whomever goes out and feeds and there's a missing cat, even though it's sad to know it's dead, we would like to know that they're gone, and so we don't have to be thinking in our minds to be watching and worrying for that animal because it's not going to come back.
Okay, so you actually want to microchip them to your rescue and take on that follow-up care if they are found to be injured and brought to EDH,
yeah.
Or what is the...
That's sort of where the question is. I feel like right now if we did that, we would be implying responsibility financially and legally and morally,
mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of an area we... I sound like a jerk saying this, but we don't want to necessarily be financially responsible for a feral. We're not responsible for them now after we fix them. This would be more of just a record-keeping kind of thing. But, of course, if we get called on one of our ferals, we're going to, mm-hmm. you know, then we're going to have that extra, like, what do we do? Like, you know. And, unfortunately, there aren't public resources to take care of that financial responsibility. So I don't know that this is even a reasonable thing.
Well, a microchip would actually indicate both the sterilization and the vaccination status of the feral cat, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what an ear tip does.
That's pretty good.
That's
yeah.
what an ear tip does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what?
That's what an ear tip does.
Oh.
It shows that they're
neutered. Ear
tip.
Okay.
They cut part
yeah,
of the ear
yeah.
off. So that they can tell from a distance that cat is neutered. They don't have to trap it.
A microchip, you would have to scan them and be in very close proximity.
So right. have to
yeah, and,
the
and the so the only way that would be happening is if the cat was deceased, really, or injured and unable to fight and try to kill the human trying to help them,
mm-hmm.
like they do.
Terrible.
Well, also, you know, neighbors catch them and trap them and turn them over to Green Hill or Eugene, you know, that way they can be scanned and like, oh, this cat was part of this colony. You know, that way they can ask for history or something like that of this cat. So it does end up Green Hill. Green Hill then would have like a record that okay, this cat was part of the colony.
Yeah, but I just don't know how that works. And so that's kind of where I had talked to Mr. Calderwood last month about that. And just kind of having the county look into if a cat is chipped, am I financially responsible for that animal? And that was a question that we didn't really know and we were really unsure of the answer. So I think I'm sort of asking a question today that can't be answered today, that would be answered in the future, of what is my responsibility and liability in that situation.
Well, you have some interesting perspective and experience to contribute. We would ask that you convey to the staff, Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
Any requests that you may have that could be deemed important enough to put in our subsequent meeting agendas.
Okay.
Well, it would be helpful if we knew if any other place around the country was microchipping feral cats and how it's going.
Okay.
We could have some research done on that.
Okay.
That would help us tremendously.
Okay.
Rather than go from nothing, knowing nothing.
Are you asking me to do that?
You got it.
So if you could bring us some information about other municipalities maybe that are microchipping feral cats in North Florida.
Okay.
That would be very helpful.
Okay. I can do that.
I think it would be necessary for us to even think about it.
Okay.
Are there any other people want to speak?
Yes, any other public comment? Okay.
These are crisscrossed for you to take if you want photos.
So your two concerns are the ear tip, excessive ear tip.
Yep.
And microchipping, feral cats, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do you pronounce your name? Nagelhout or Nagelhout?
Nagelhout.
Nagelhout.
N-A-G-E-L-H-O-U-T.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So make sure you have his email. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
And
what I will do is I'll send you an email because I received your application. Is your email marked on there?
Yep.
Perfect. Then that way you'll have that if you need to send me anything.
Okay. I have to go on a road trip now, so I will not be attending the rest of your meeting.
Thank you for
your time.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay. Drive safe.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, sorry.
There's my crew. Well, that would be a turnout for both comments. They were all together. Okay.
I was saying that the difficulty is from a distance,
yeah.
It may be difficult to determine.
This is.
These
are more materials,
yes.
On the clipping and stuff.
Right, yeah. Well, Linda, I think we have. I think everyone who wanted to speak during public comment has spoken, so I will give you back the floor as well.
Okay. Also, I think in fairness, we need to hear from Greenhill regarding these charges.
So we do.
And speaking of which, we don't have a representative from Greenhill here today, do we?
No,
we do not.
So we have no report of their activities, I presume?
No.
Sasha's out of the state or something. But she said we could address any questions to Carrie if need be.
Great.
Let's move the agenda.
All right. Do we have anything further from Lane County Animal Services?
We do not. At today's meeting, we did not have our animal welfare officers available today. But honestly, things
have
been
one.
Quiet on most fronts, so nothing to report.
You're
I'm with the city.
Yes, she's, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you're an animal services officer there.
Yes.
For Eugene.
What's your name?
My name's Debbie Sporsich.
Debbie what?
Sporsich.
Sportic?
Sporsich. Sporsich. Sporsich.
She was here last week, and I asked her in return because often we have questions that she can help us with.
That's great.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for your
comments. Yeah. And I enjoyed hearing you wanting to share the vouchers, and I'd like to talk about that later because I could give out 100 tomorrow. Give them to me.
Okay.
or point them to the app. Yeah, just that would just be a nice resource because I meet so many people that want to do the right thing and they're financially strapped or the
right.
Or we recommend a lot to pro bono to go get, but they only get a limited number of vouchers and they run out quickly on the Sunday clinics, and just seeing a lot of all their issues are around lack of spay and neuter.
pro bono.
To warm Scott's heart.
Pro bono has only a certain amount of county vouchers or city vouchers?
I don't think they get county vouchers. I'm not familiar with that.
But you said that they have.
They give vouchers to their clients coming in because they only do like vaccinations and dewormer, flea treatment. So they provide vouchers to clients that come that Sunday. But they always run out of vouchers. There's never enough.
Is the city of Eugene spay and neuter clinic really active, and do they still vaccinate many, many animals?
I don't know what their numbers are. I'm not. It's kind of funny, even though I work for the city, I'm not. It's a very separate.
It would
so,
be interesting.
So I don't. Unfortunately, I don't get to work with them or see their numbers or reporting.
Because traditionally, they've done quite a lot.
They used to.
I know they're hiring for a vet right now. I think they're down a vet, so they are.
So they're still working.
They're still working, but I don't think they're doing as much as I think they still have a backlog and.
And they do this at First Avenue.
Yes, still at the First Avenue.
Quick question about the availability of the voucher. Is there an online application that people can do? Instead of printing, because not everyone has access to a printer.
True.
I mean, yes, they could go to the library, they could have UPS or something print it, but if there's a way that they could quick do it on their phone and submit it, and then have an email voucher, they can show that to the clinic or,
You mean an application?
The actual application.
Right,
so instead of taking out, printing out an actual physical paper, could they submit that to the county via an online form?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we have the capacity to do that. Because the voucher's, frankly, kind of old. You know, we've had the paper model, but it doesn't mean that we have to do that. So we can see about updating that. We do have the means to do that. So
I think that would be helpful because there's a lot of people who do not have access.
True.
To
true. Yeah.
I'm one of those. I literally send everything to my mother to have her print them, for
sure.
Me. And I mean, she lives 5 minutes away, so it's not a huge deal.
True.
But I work off of my phone or my iPad. I don't have a printer for things, so it's like having an easy access.
Yeah.
Online form, boom, done. Even like our show registrations are typically that way, as well. It's like I can wait until the day that a show closes and I can do my entry and it takes me 5 minutes. Versus I have to fill out my hands and then is it legible?
Right. No, that's totally.
Well, we don't want to get rid of the paper vouchers.
No,
right.
An alternative.
I mean, there are a lot of people don't have smartphones with tents on the street.
Right.
Doesn't ease of accessibility for those who don't have the capability of printing.
Yeah. Well, definitely. That's a great
entry. You would have to make sure that you check with your veterinarians that are accepting the paper that they would be able to access.
A screenshot. Like they can email it to the clinic. I mean, almost every clinic has their own email. They can email it directly to the clinic, a screenshot of it. It's pretty, it adds more accessibility to those who are not able to get to it.
You know,
if they give them the website here, boom, fill it out, and now you have it.
Perhaps, Nathan, you could, if you have the time, inquire of the City of Eugene Spay and Neuter Clinic what data they have for the last year, fiscal year, whatever, or the last couple, with regard to feline and canine spays and neuters. To see what the trend is. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do we want to?
Slid right into open discussion.
Yeah, that's good.
Isn't there anything else?
David, didn't Mr. Calderwood have something to bring to our attention with regard to that?
I had all kinds of stuff printed up at home and I left it all at home.
All right. But the respiratory,
I had that printed up too. You may know as much as I do, Linda. As far as I know, they think it might be bacterial at this point. I don't know where it is in the states right now, but there are quite a few states that have been dealing with it. What information do you have, Linda?
There are
AKC put something
up. Universities that I'm aware of, OSU and the University of Minnesota, who are doing DNA sequencing. to see if they can better identify what mutated bacterium may be causing this. The thought seems to be that it is part of the gut biome that may have mutated. So that's where we are on that. Also, a lot of people don't realize that this has been going on in some form or other for a number of years. This is not new. Every fall and early winter, we have an uptick in upper respiratory viruses, canine, feline, and human. And that's nothing new.
The thing,
a little bit of caution, a little bit of caution is warranted. Making sure that your upper respiratory vaccines for the dogs and the cats are updated, especially depending on their level of exposure. Do you do performance sports? Do you go to dog shows, grooming salons, boarding facilities? All those things you need to be aware of and make sure that your vaccines are where they need to be. Still, that may not keep you safe, but just like with the human vaccines, it's better to have your flu shot and your COVID shot than not have it.
But still, there's no definitive condition, whether it's viral or bacterial, yet.
They were leaning towards.
But they're leaning to it. But it's, I mean, what I've read about it is that there are fatalities, and there have been in Oregon. In fact, Oregon was one of the, five earliest states that had this incidence with respect to our two dogs. We got them right away, make sure their kennel cough vaccine and their influenza vaccine. But I don't know if they know whether that is a prophylactic for this virus. And like I spoke to our vet and other people, they say, don't go to dog parks. I mean, we go in the traffic time, mid-morning or something.
I wouldn't go anytime.
Yeah,
every dog disease in the world shows up there.
I agree with David. Not smart to go.
Also, they say don't ever let your dog drink out of common water thing. Like at Amazon dog park, there's like 10, white water bowls that Good Samaritans replenish all the time. But there's been no posting. I know Eugene Weekly this week, I think, unless it was last week, had a little blurb on this. But there's been no, wherever people congregate with dogs, i.e. dog parks for one, there's no big signs or Achtung, beware. If this has the capacity to kill unsuspecting animals, shouldn't the relevant agencies or governments do something, post something?
Who runs them? The city. So you got to go preach to the city.
Well, we have animal service operations, both city and county.
There's no dog parks in the county. In the unincorporated.
Oh, I think there are. Way out at Fern Ridge, Richardson, or whatever it is.
There's a dog park out there?
That's what I've been told.
I wouldn't know. I don't go to them.
But
Nathan, do you know where there's dog parks in the county?
I do not. No. That's something I can look into. Yeah.
And whether they're
but the city has them. I mean,
privately regulated.
Alton Baker, Wayne Morse, Amazon.
The one way off Covert, is that county or city? The
Armitage.
What's it called?
Armitage?
Yeah.
That's a county.
County.
That's a county.
Okay, so that's a county dog park.
Yep.
No, is it a county park or a county dog park?
Well,
I think it's both.
It's both, technically.
Okay. I was like, there's definitely because people take their dogs to regular county parks. Oh, but no, there's a dog park there.
There's
a fenced dog park. And
so, at entrances to county parks and or city parks, Would it be wise for us to communicate with the parks departments to suggest that they look into some notification about this? This is not just a joke. This is serious.
We really don't know what's causing it. We think we have a handle, but we're not sure.
Right, and all the more reason to be careful.
And we don't necessarily want to be paranoid about it, because higher titer counts will get you through it if you do get it. The problem is the weak animals, the very young and very old, that have a immune system issue. Those are the ones that will have the problem. And so, just like I was at a dog show last weekend in Georgia, and there were no sick dogs that I knew of. And the judges that were there when we talked about it, nobody found any dogs that were coughing or had runny noses or any issues.
The other day, I was at Amazon, and there's this woman with her this beautiful dog. She's young. And she said she, every Saturday, goes to PetSmart for dog obedience training. And that there, heretofore, that time, there were three or four dogs in the class that she went to. And the last one she went to last week, there was only her dog. And she found out that one of those dogs that they'd been intimately learning from came down with this.
With something?
No, well, this respiratory thing is what she said.
That's what it was, Greg.
And there must be something on the state level, the state veterinarian, there must be some generic informational form or something that has been done.
Didn't the AVMA put out something, Linda?
They did put out something. You know, typically, though, they communicate with veterinarians and clinics with their recommendations. Perhaps that could be adopted somehow.
I could look that up and maybe send it to the committee. I'm not sure what I had printed up. It might have been just from the AKC, it might have been from the AVMA, I'm not sure. I can look and just send that out to the committee.
That would be good, David.
Okay. It's worth following up. If one dog was deceased because of no preemption, no...
Well, what I heard was, and I don't know how true it is because it's secondhand, that it started in Albany with the Golden National in August, which I went to. However, I didn't see any sick dogs there, or hear of any, until long afterwards. I heard that somebody showed a Golden that was coughing, and people weren't happy about it. The dog was from New York. The guy was driving, and he drove home by the time he was going to take his dog to a vet when he got home. By the time he got home, got to the dog, ready for the vet appointment, the dog died.
Holy moly.
That's what I heard. And I don't know how true that is. I haven't followed it up with any of the Golden people. I know some Golden people.
Why don't you?
But that's where I heard that it was identified starting.
The difficulty is it's very much a red herring situation. Bordetella can cause coughing and runny noses.
Yes.
There are multiple respiratory issues.
Yes.
Klebstrachia can cause coughing. Enlarged cardiac issues can cause coughing.
Yes.
Many people are saying, oh, my dog has this horrible thing, when there's no diagnostic for it yet. They're recommending running PCRs. They're recommending doing tracheal washes to determine truly what's going on. But they don't have an answer for exactly what it is. So everyone is blowing it well out of proportion, saying, my dog has this, when it's a generic case of kennel cough. It seems to be a secondary pneumonia that is causing the extreme cases.
Yes.
But it's a susceptible thing. If my young 2-year-old dog is happy, healthy, great food, great body conditions for a healthy dog, her likelihood of having a secondary issue, like a killing pathogen for a pneumonia, is extremely unlikely. But her exposure level is also different than a dog who goes to the dog park every day, or a dog who goes to daycare. You know, she goes to shows, but then she's home. Does that make sense? So it's like there's a lot of like, this is what my dog has, but there's no truly proving that what it is, and it's not even progressing in 99% of these cases to the concerning pneumonia.
it's serious enough. Dogs are dying, small percentage nationally, apparently, yeah. that an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure.
Oh, for sure.
I agree.
And we ought to think about it. I've been thinking about this for the last month here.
Yeah, local veterinarians are recommending don't go to dog parks unless your dog absolutely needs it, you know, not letting them utilize extra bowls. My own self, I had my girl at a show weekend before last. She went in, she did her grooming, she went in the ring, she came back out to the car. We kennelled from the car, we didn't bench. I wiped off her face, I wiped off her paws, I washed all of my items that we utilize like normal. This is my normal protocol when I do it any show anyways, but as soon as we got home, we washed everything with our normal detergents, utilized my Lysol wipe or my Lysol rinse because I can't utilize bleach. I live on a septic system. And I'm keeping my dogs away from other dogs for 2 weeks just to make sure that I'm not spreading something on.
Well, you're doing the right thing.
That's common sense for most people. But
for people that know.
Yeah, for most people.
Not everybody knows.
When their dogs are going to daycare every day, that's a super spreader event. If they're going to the dog park, that's a super spreader event. If they don't know, having a quick notification of, hey, but there's a lot of things that have been blown well out of proportion.
That as well.
Right. You know, as well. And it's fear-mongering to have news, you know, releases stating that XYZ is killing thousands of dogs. It's not. It's less than 100 dogs, which is unfortunate. But in the likelihood of all of the respiratory things that are going on, it's an extremely low number. Should people still be cautious? Absolutely. But to each their own. They need to make the decision on what is a good level of protection for their own animal.
There have been quite a few national articles on it, though.
And a lot of them have been very fear-mongering oriented.
Well, part of the reason of that is because what happened in 2015, when a virus did come from South Korea and killed a number of dogs in 30-some states. That's part of the reason we're... The people that know about that are concerned about it.
And dog grooming, like before this, we'd get our two dogs, the nail clip, particularly our shepherd lab, at Foxy Dog on River Road. But this last week, just brought it right to the vet.
Yeah. And it depends. I mean,
and they did it there.
That are saying their dogs are getting this illness from just being in their backyard. You know, is that really likely? Probably not, but...
Can they get it from feces on a field or anything else? Or do we not? Is it just secretions?
We assume that it's secretion-based, and that's how it's spreading. We assume, because we don't have the answer. We just don't.
That's why they don't... Touching the nose, or drinking out of a water bowl, or smelling the feces.
Or what?
Or smelling the feces.
Really?
Sure.
Well...
So there's a lot of unknowns at this point.
Are we going to find out the form that may exist?
Well, I'll see what I can find and send it to the committee.
And to Nathan and...
sure, everybody that's on that.
But the Parks Department, the County Parks Department, Mount Pisgah, you know.
But this can happen anywhere in your own neighborhood where multiple dogs sure. go on walks. So it's not just the parks. It's anywhere you take a dog to a grassy area where apartment
rest
complex...
Areas.
So there's no, it's not just the dog parks. That's the
could be your neighbor issue. Dog that went to the dog park. But again, we don't want to be paranoid.
Right. Okay. Let's follow through.
Sure.
David,
I'm happy
to help share resources that I have.
Is there any other discussion? Anything else that's pressing?
I didn't look at this. Do we have any bite? Reporting?
Yes, so we have our same, or kind of the standard format for the county, and then we have the Green Hills statistics as well. But yes, so if you're looking for like county bite reporting, that's going to be on page...
Andrew's dogs?
Correct. I think there might even be a specific stat for bites. Specifically.
I see on table 3 there's a dangerous dog report, and it looks like it's down from last month. The reason I'm asking, apparently in Texas, in San Antonio, it's gotten really bad. And I don't know what the specifics are as to why, but they're actually coming out with a map of dog bites across the city. people to be aware of aggressive dogs. Just people walking down the street getting bit by dogs. I don't know if it's breed specific or there's other issues, but that's the only reason I ask.
Okay.
Nothing here, so I'm not worried about it.
The public shelter, we're talking to Green Hill?
Correct.
Are you seeing any new development or any trends that...
Around dog bites?
Anything that pertains to companion animals.
Of the large?
Yeah, it just depends on the day. Some days, all the dogs are out. Some days, it's all bite cases. So, no, it's hit and miss. It's
nothing stands out.
Yeah, nothing's standing out right now. Yeah.
Good.
Well, items for next month, we talked a few of them.
Yes, so from my notes, what we will do is have an updated copy of the spay and neuter voucher. And that'll have the income portion deleted, and in its place, we'll have information on. Let's see if I can find my copy of it here. Oh, there we go. So information on. We'll have a statement that they will complete, or at least maybe like a checkbox to say, you know, if I submit this, it means that I'm in financial need or some way of kind of qualifying individuals who complete it. And then there are a few other suggestions that we'll add to the voucher form as well. So next
week. So that they can fill it out online.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. On that, we do have the capacity. There's a certain kind of software that we use.
Yeah,
that we can
add
use.
It to the how do I on the web.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
If it interests you, you're smart and you know a lot. If you find yourself curious further about it, maybe you could give us an update about what is known, what the trends are,
where we're seeing it,
where it's been happening in Oregon and nationally, just not encyclopedic, but something that's hones in on it.
For sure, absolutely. Yeah. I can definitely work with David on getting a lot of information set up and sent out.
Great.
Madam Chair, you've done a great job. Do we have anything more on the agenda before we adjourn?
We do not.
Do you want to announce the next meeting and then adjourn?
Yes, so our next meeting is for January what, Nathan?
Yes, January 8th. Yes, Monday,
January 8th. Yeah. At 4 o'clock.
January?
That's right. Yeah.
At 4 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
4 p.m.
Yep.
Okay.
And this Taro Nagelhut is going to bring some more information about chipping of ears. And this is her stuff. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, are we adjourned, Honorable Chair?
I believe we are done.
Okay.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah,
good job.